Welcome to Real Living. We're continuing. We're just making this a two-show deal on the issue of artificial intelligence. Like I said, we would need to say up front that we are hardly experts in any of these areas. It is obvious that we are just two people sort of commenting on stuff out of our comfort zone. But the issues that are being drawn by the idea of artificial intelligence and how it will develop and what are the implications for us are perhaps things that it is not too premature to bring up. And you, Mary Lou, brought to my attention, you were listening to a podcast by Patrick Madrid, who is on Relevant Radio, the Patrick Madrid Show, the October 31st show, if you all want to go back and get it on the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, it was October in the 31st. Second hour of that three-hour show.
Right. So, and he raises some interesting points. We are approaching it from the point of view of personhood, transcendent truth, the common good. What should us regular people who perhaps don't inhabit this rarefied atmosphere of AI investment think about this kind of stuff? Some of you all might think, hey, this is kind of so far in the future, it doesn't make any difference. You know, let our children deal with it. But I think what Elon Musk, who is, of course, the leader of Tesla and SpaceX CEO, including other startups, he is very concerned. And he's very concerned about what? He's concerned about governments using AI for warfare purposes. Now, of course, you know, the sensationalized headline is Elon Musk backs call for global ban on killer robots. That's kind of extreme. We don't have any killer robots yet. Will we ever even have them? We don't know. We may have watched too much, Terminator, too much science fiction. But here I'm looking at an article where it says RoboCop becomes a reality. They have instituted some artificial robotic cops in Dubai. And more than a dozen countries, including the United States, China, Israel, South Korea, Russia, and Britain, are currently developing autonomous weapon systems. What does autonomous weapon system mean? Right? What does it mean? Now, this from a man, Tesla, who is a genius, of course, who has a company that's building devices to connect the human brain directly with a computer. And I'm looking at an article right now where it has a circuit board, and he is advocating that somehow it's really like within 5 years that the brain-machine interface that would overhaul what it means to be human and how we live. See, you and I, we can't talk much about artificial intelligence, but we can probably address what it means to be human from a Christian point of view.
Exactly. And where does that override the Christian point of view if we're starting to be wired like that? It's mm-hmm. It's a little disconcerting when this is all so new and kind of out there and we don't quite understand it. How is that going to affect us? And especially when it comes to, you know, who we are versus all of these computers and machines. We're human beings. We have a body and soul. We're created in the image and likeness of God. We are different than anything else. Are these machines, computers, robots going to start controlling us? I mean, these are questions that are starting to come up because of the you know, just the technology that's out there now.
And Mary Lou, our phones are already controlling us. I don't know about you.
Absolutely.
You know? Absolutely.
There was something that I read the other day where you check your phone at least 80 times a day for messages and so forth. We are totally connected. I often tell people that I should just have my phone, you know, kind of inserted into me because wherever I go, my phone goes and it's on 24 hours a day. You know, I understand that technology and it's frightening at times.
Well, you're talking about technology implanted in brains. And guess what? That's already happening already in the medical field to treat Parkinson's disease. But Musk wants to go farther, creating a plug-in for our brain. So that would be like the neural lace or the neural net that we were talking about in the last show that every human could use. The brain plug-in would connect to the cloud, allowing anyone with a device to immediately share thoughts, which is, I think, kind of scary. Humans could communicate without having to talk, call, email, or text, which means even more unfiltered thoughts floating around the internet. I don't know about you. I don't know if I want to see that.
That's a bit dangerous. And you know, just because we're able to do this, should we be doing this? What's going to be the control here at all?
We have these applications. Colleagues scattered throughout the globe could brainstorm via a mind meld, which, by the way, is a term taken from Star Trek. Okay. Learning would be instantaneous. Entertainment would be any experience we desire. Ideas and experiences could be shared from brain to brain. We would be living in a virtual reality without having to wear cumbersome goggles. You could relive a friend's trip to Antarctica, hearing the sound of the penguins, feeling the cold ice, all the while your body sits on your couch. Well, that's from this article.
In Japan, an AI intelligence wrote a novel, and it almost won a prize over there. And it was called The Day a Computer Writes a Novel. Written by machine was the name of it. You know, as you're saying, we're already there. You know, what restraints should there be? I mean, how are we going to process all of this and handle all of this and not lose that connection to our faith? Because it seems to me we're going to rely more on AI than on what we really should be relying on.
So two things. One is the CNN Tech article goes on to say, in the meantime, there are many reasons for humans to be wary of implanting a computer in their brain. You think? Any digital technology can be hacked. Humans might be unwittingly turned into malicious agents for unsavory causes. Computers can crash too, can't they? And if the interface fails, that could imperil our physical health. With a brain-machine interface recording our lives, all our experiences would be stored in the cloud. So therefore, what does that do for privacy? Privacy would be threatened. Governments or others would have incentives to access that information and track our behavior. If our brains merge with machines, our thoughts would become indistinguishable from what we've downloaded from the cloud. We could struggle to know if our beliefs and views came from personal experiences or from what the internet sent to our brains. Humans would be putting enormous trust in the maker of the brain-machine interface to share good information with them, which I don't think so.
Well, it's like big, big, big brother overlooking everything about us and knowing everything about us. You know, even when we're on our phones and we Google something or we're shopping, let's just say on Amazon, we don't buy something. All of a sudden, whenever we're on other sites, all of a sudden these ads will pop up for that very product that we may have been looking at. So our phones know what we're doing, and they're ways that they can connect all of that, and it keeps coming back and keep asking us whether we want to go ahead and purchase that or put that dress or item in front of us once again to see whether we're going to go ahead and buy it. I mean, it's
what happens though when everybody else has a neural interface and we don't? Because I'm reading all this saying, well, okay, I won't do it, you know? And he says, we're going to have the choice of either being left behind and being effectively useless, or we become a pet.
Oh, my gosh. That is scary. That is scary.
I think that's pretty interesting, right? This article on CNN Tech kind of unpacks the ethical implications of what Elon Musk is talking about. Summoning the demon. Again, he uses very interesting religious language to talk about people with pentagrams in the past used to summon demons. And we all knew who were watching the movie that, no, you cannot control a demon. And they keep thinking they can. And so they're saying once we summon the demon of artificial intelligence, then what happens? And Musk has skin in the game because he's one of the high profile investors alongside Mark Zuckerberg, of course, of, of Facebook and Ashton Kutcher, who is an actor, in Vicarious, a company aiming to build a computer that can think like a person with a neural network capable of replicating the part of the brain that controls vision, body, memory. Okay, whatever. You know, I just, my brain just went to sleep just trying to describe all those things. But as you are saying, what is the idea behind all this? It's conferring personhood on inanimate objects. Right?
That's exactly right.
And this Lewandowski guy, it has actually founded a religion called Singularity. The day in our new future when computers will surpass humans in intelligence, hey, that's already happened, excuse me, and kick off a feedback loop of unfathomable change. When that day comes, Anthony Lewandowski will be firmly on the side of the machines. Now, this is the guy who he's at the heart of Uber, Waymo, right, and Google self-driving car company. And he founded a religious organization called Way of the Future, which goes to show that just because you're a brilliant guy doesn't mean that you're smart. Its purpose, according to previously unreported state filings, is nothing less than to develop and promote the realization of a godhead based on artificial intelligence. So here we go. Romans 1. We are creating our own God, or even any part of the Old Testament where human make idols. Now, this idol would be a whole lot more sophisticated, obviously, but he's man-made, and therefore it would be an idol.
It sounds so far out there, but yet, you know, Lewandowski has already applied for nonprofit status or for that religion that he's starting.
Well, that's right up there with the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, as far as I'm concerned, as we've talked about before. It's kind of sort of a debasing of the idea of faith. A divine AI, continues the article, may still be far off, but Lewandowski has made a start at providing AI with an earthly incarnation. The autonomous cars he was instrumental in developing at Google are already ferrying real passengers around Phoenix, Arizona, while self-driving trucks he built at Otto are now part of Uber's plan to make freight transport safe. Those are all great ideas. He even oversaw a passenger carrying drone. You know, I don't understand where you go from there to Godhead. It's kind of a leap. Lewandowski has done perhaps more than anyone else to propel transportation towards its own singularity, a time when automatic cars, trucks, and aircraft either free us from the danger and drudgery of human operation or decimate mass transit, encourage urban sprawl, and enable deadly bugs and hacks. But before any of that can happen, Lewandowski is, you know, obviously his self-driving car thing did fail. Okay.
Right.
But an Uber fired him in May. So he's made a career of moving fast and breaking things. As long as those things were self-driving vehicles and little loved regulations, Silicon Valley applauded him. With his charm, enthusiasm, and obsession, Lewandowski came to personify the disruption that autonomous transportation is likely to cause. But, says the guy who wrote this article in Wired magazine, but even the smartest car will crack up if you floor the gas pedal too long. By extension, the whole technology industry is there in the dock with Lewandowski. Can we ever trust self-driving cars if it turns out we cannot trust the people who are making them? Interesting point.
Well, and it's, you know, and how does this affect society with all of this automation, et cetera, with people that used to be able to do things, manufacture things? You know, how is that going to change the scale of the technology versus, you know, the jobs that are being done by human beings today? I mean, it's a shift in society. This is not small. This is, to me, I'm just starting to look at this whole picture, and this is huge. And where is it going to lead? And how is everyone going to process this and allow some things and say to others, we should not be doing this? I mean, there needs to be some guards, and I don't know how that's ever going to happen. It's like the internet when it first started, and even now today, whatever you want, you can put on the internet, and whatever you read on the internet, people think it's the truth. Where are we going? Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Now, this is from a guy who has crashed and burned, unfortunately, in the corporate world. He has the ambition, the vision, the ability to recruit people and drive people. If he could just play it straight, he could be the next Steve Jobs or Elon Musk. But he just doesn't know when to stop cutting corners. This is the guy that we want to form a new religion. I mean, there's nothing against poor Anthony Lewandowski. He sounds like he's a little bit misguided. And it sounds like he's firmly within the grasp of self-delusion. Is at least in the area of creating an artificial intelligence God. Now, you know, I kind of like the idea of a self-driving car. Don't you? I mean, you know, you could get in the car and watch movies and, you know, and check your phone and you just kind of hang out. You know, I don't think that's a bad idea. And they wouldn't be a risk to the rest of us as well. Plus, it might be a better idea, might be a better idea of resource. But let's not go too far afield. Here's the deal. Obviously, the main issue that really we, those of us who are on the sidelines looking at all this stuff, should raise is, who is a person? Just exactly who is a person? Who is a person? What confers personhood? Because the minute the state says that they are the only ones who can confer personhood, we have a problem.
Right.
We have the idea of nations deciding that children in the womb are not persons and therefore disposable. We have nations or states, as has happened here in our own United States and in Belgium and in other places, that have determined that older people in nursing homes with dementia or some other, long-term illness are disposable. And you have that whole idea of mercy killing, even if the person who's being killed doesn't want to be killed, as has happened. We've had one instance anyway, I forgot where it was, where this woman decided not to commit suicide and her family fed her the poison anyway, which is just chilling to me.
Wow.
I mean, that becomes murder.
Murder.
Right. So, again, going back to Peter Singer, professor at Princeton, who was the one who wrote the famous book about 20 years ago about, you know, how children and people who are unconscious, people who are not really self-aware yet, are not really persons. And therefore, you get to the point where self-awareness is the only thing that determines personhood. But that would mean that most of us, when we are asleep, are not self-aware. Therefore, we cease to be persons when we are asleep. I mean, where do we go with all that stuff? So here we are. Let's pull back a little bit. Look at the big picture. We have, again, the Gnostic temptation that we have seen cropping up in the past 2,000 years of the faith, whereby you have the temptation of secret knowledge and you have the temptation of wanting to redo or to remake creation in our own image by disregarding reality, by disregarding biological reality, by disregarding transcendent truth. That's the only way that our society, disregarding transcendent truth and disregarding biological realities or remaking biological realities, that they're going to be able to get this done, to kind of confer personhood on the 7-year-old artificial picture, virtual reality picture in Japan, or citizenship to Sophia, the fetching robot in Saudi Arabia. What do you think?
I totally agree with everything that you've said, and that's why I think it's important for people to become aware of this, and those that are in these fields to show some prudence and what can be done, what should be done, how it should be done, so as to not take away from what belongs to us as human persons. That, you know, we have to entrust ourselves to that higher person who created us, and to do things in a way that benefits society, that doesn't enslave it, doesn't control it, doesn't make the computer, the robot, or whatever else, the Godhead. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's where we have to. We all have to be aware of what's going on and how we use it and what we buy and what we support and is ourselves and the government and every place else, because all of society is going to be affected by this and already is.
As ridiculous as Lewandowski's idea seems to be of forming a Godhead out of artificial intelligence, that's kind of like pushing it all to the limit. But really, you know, how, you know, this might be a good time to kind of think back as to the minute the government or a corporation gives you personhood, and can it, that means they can also take it away. And that's why we need transcendent truth. Without truth, you have power. And you have whoever is strong enough to assert their ideas is the person that's going to determine your reality, your personhood. So see how we keep coming back to the same thing. As Christians, we believe in transcendent truth. We believe in a God who has granted us personhood because we are made in his image and likeness. Now, where do we go from there? That's something that we just need to keep in mind going forward. We thank you for joining us. Remember, you can find all these shows on the Breadbox Media podcast, and also on the Catholic Way Bible Study app that will that has a section for radio shows, and also on our website, cwbs.org. Thank you for joining us.